Hello, and welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club podcast. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. If you're looking for computer solutions anywhere on the internet, I would appreciate you checking us out at internationalcs.net. What follows is today's meeting from May 30th, 2020. Today we used Google Meet as our means of conducting the meeting, and it was very successful, both on a YouTube stream, a live audio stream, and just in general between all our members. It was a great time, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So please, sit back, relax, and enjoy May 30th, 2020, the San Carlos Computer Club. Tech on. Now, where am I? This is me. Hello, everybody out there in internet land. It's good to see you. Thank you for showing up for our meeting. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. Here again to help you with your tech problems. I want to create solutions for you. If you're anywhere on the internet, I'm here to help you. So please get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. And our club is one that meets every Saturday at 9. It's been virtual meetings since we've been quarantined. And since that's the case, we're all dialing in today with Google Meets. And I really appreciate people like my mom who have our old Skype meeting open so that we can hear from Paul. I hope other people are able to hear Paul coming through Mom's Skype. One of the new things
God,
that we...
I can see your mouth move, but I can't hear a thing.
Seriously? Is anybody hearing anything?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's hearing me but Fred?
Now I'm hearing you.
Okay.
Put new batteries in the hearing aids.
Well,
did that yesterday.
Well, here we are in our standard form, slightly, just a hair more organized because I sent out some topics, but just being here today, we've come up with some new topics such as Paul cannot talk to us through Edge, which is a surprising new development that I wasn't expecting.
Edge. First things first,
Okay, but I'm making a note to test Edge with Meet later after we're done because it doesn't seem to be working.
Scott, first things first. What coffee cup you got today?
Oh, well, you know it.
Oh, what's this one?
This is... Oh, here we go. This is a Wookiee. That's Chewbacca.
I'm following you on YouTube.
Oh, that works for you, Paul.
That's baby Chewbacca?
Gosh, what do they call this style? This is a style of pop culture art that's become popular in the last few years. And so this is done in a Wookiee. This is the Chewbacca version.
The Wookiee. Cool. I am completely envious.
I'm running out of designer cups for you, Bill. So pretty soon we're gonna be doing a rotation.
Oh, I rue the day.
So I have a couple of topics that I sent out earlier, but you know, the thing that I'm actually interested in hearing from you guys on is, have you been paying attention to Trump's executive order? Oh, it looks like Jim's joining us too. Hello, Jim.
Hi.
Has anybody paid any attention to what this is? Have any thoughts on what the executive order is really going to do? I've been listening to commentators all morning, and it goes from shutting down social networks to having no teeth at all. And I was curious if there's anybody out there that has any information or opinions on what this really means to us. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes. If he shuts it down, where's his squawk box going to be?
Boy, that's a good question. It's really interesting.
Is he going to form his own?
It's really interesting to hear him criticize the platform for editing him you have a very good point there, Linda, is that he's used this platform instead of mainstream media, and now his complaints are the same he's got with mainstream media.
Does he have the power to do that, to shut it down?
Let me comment, if I may.
Please, Chester.
Yeah, this relates to a bill that was passed back in the 70s, and it's bill number 203. And it requires that these platforms, the three platforms, to avoid legal liability from what is posted, they have to remain neutral and post anything that comes their way without editing. And the problem arose when they edited his comment about voting by mail, and they're not entitled by law to do that editing. And if they persist in it, then the Congress can withdraw their immunity from suit. So the president is probably right, except he needs Congress. He's not likely to be able to do this with a presidential proclamation. That has to be done with the courts. So that's my view.
Maybe he should stop lying.
Oh, come on. Let's not get political here.
I don't want us to get caught up in a political discussion about this. I'm just more, I appreciate that. But what I'm really more interested in is understanding how this might affect us. And I've heard Chester's opinion from commentators on the internet, and I tend to agree with it. I don't think he can do anything except say that he wants to do something. But because 230 is a law, and I think isn't it kind of convoluted as well? Because what they have to do is they have to determine whether Twitter is a utility. From what I understand, that's what 230 protects. It protects the telephone. It protects from being considered like a newspaper. Am I understanding that right?
That's right. For a network who can have opinions and express those opinions on their broadcast, the Twitter and Amazon, not Amazon, Twitter and Google cannot edit and express political. The only thing they can eliminate from being posted is very inflammatory type of postings. Other words, mm-hmm. Kind of like the crying fire in the movie theater. They can't allow postings of that type, but they, by the same token, they cannot express their opinions and edit postings, or they will lose their ability to avoid liability.
So this would be the difference between like us sending email to each other, or making phone calls to each other, versus like a Wall Street Journal or a New York Times, where they have editorial control. Am I understanding? I'm still having a lot of trouble with this concept.
Okay, the concept is the platforms that we're talking about. Let's use Twitter as a platform.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's start out by what do we call it? What is Twitter? Is it an open platform? I mean, for this discussion,
it's an open platform.
Okay.
And in order to avoid being liable for what they post, they cannot edit. They have to post other than a very, very far out dangerous stuff. They can't post that. They can't allow that to be posted, but they can't otherwise edit, or they're liable for liabilities. And this 203 law was to prevent them from excuse them from being liable for what appears on their site. So I think the president is correct, except that he can't legally do it, only Congress can. And that's to modify the 203 law. That's my understanding, anyway.
Well, and again, the 203 was to protect platforms from being liable for what they are, what are said on it, if I understand correctly.
Right. That is correct.
And
where
so
newspapers and CBS and NBC, they're all liable for what they say.
Got you. Got you. Okay. And this is actually gets even more convoluted when you have places like CBS also owning large networks of distribution. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe, if I understand right. I mean, when you start mixing the platform and the editorial part of things, then it doesn't become obvious who carries the liability. If I'm understanding this correctly, and Chester, so far you're the clearest voice I've heard out of everything that I've read. I think the consensus is what you're saying. I don't believe, from what I've read, he actually can do anything with an executive order to affect this, because this is a law, and so it has to be dealt with in a legal manner.
I think what he's trying to do is to remind them of the law. And
if we're going to get into speculation of what he's trying to do, I don't think he's trying to do any of that. I think he's just trying to distract us from over 100,000 deaths in our country. That's what I think he's doing.
No, I
agree.
You're getting political again.
I'm sorry. It wasn't my intention, but well, I don't think this executive order has any ability to do anything.
I don't think it affects anything we do. We have the freedom of free speech, and we're not a newspaper. We're not a broadcast platform. I don't think it has any effect on anything that the internet that we're associated with.
No, I think you're right. I'm sorry, who was that?
That was me. I was just going to say, it seems to me like he has been able to interfere and do anything he wants without much stopping a lot of bad press, but he still seems to figure out how to do it. And I agree. I think he's real distracting. So that's it. I won't say anything more political. Maybe.
Well, I have a suggestion. Every political comment which should come with a charge, let's say $50. I think that'll make it more agreeable.
What?
I am in trouble. I'm turning my mic off.
What we need is a virtual swear jar, but it's for political comments. That's how we're gonna finance all this computer club stuff. Is we're just gonna start charging everybody that makes a political comment.
You'll be rich in no time.
Are we going to use computer money?
Yeah, let's use Bitcoin.
I don't have any.
Okay, Scott, just remember the Canadian dollar trades at about 2/3 of American, so we get in cheaper.
You get it? No, actually, it's going to cost you more. Everything's based on the dollar.
Oh, come on. We're going to go with the peso. Look,
this would be to a cuss box when you have people playing cards and they say a curse word, they have to put in a quarter or a half dollar for the privilege of saying a curse word.
So, that's right, yeah.
A political box.
Right. Well, it's free speech if you can pay for it.
Well, hey, this is off that subject, but on to Bitcoin.
Okay. Seriously?
Okay,
it was a joke, Linda. It was a joke. No, go ahead.
Well, you know I have IPTV service, and I have to pay with Bitcoin for everybody's subscriptions.
Yes.
And so you can go to these Bitcoin ATM machines. And I just was looking them up, and I finally found some. There's a couple now in Tucson. And you're not going to believe it. They're at the Indian Reservation Smoke Shops.
Cool. That's really interesting. So,
Well, I have a hard time paying with the Bitcoin for my TV service. It's just a big rigmarole to get the Bitcoins. And some of them want all your ID and your passport and everything, and I just won't do that.
Are you still using OXO to get money into a Bitcoin wallet?
No. Nope. I've gone to this guy on PayPal, but sometimes it takes him it took me almost 5 days to get my Bitcoins. I wasn't going to OXO. I'm using called Local Bitcoins.
Say that again, Local Bitcoins?
Local Bitcoins. And when you sign up, and they have a lot of security, but you didn't have to give all kinds of ID.
Okay, so, I mean, like, you have to verify it with an email address. You have to give them stuff like that, but you don't have to give them Social Security or...
Right, anything. But I had tried Bitso. Bitso wanted all kinds of ID from me. And then I started trying to do it, and then I realized, I thought, why should I be giving this to them? You're supposed to be able to buy this stuff without people knowing you're buying it. Now all of a sudden they all want all this ID from you.
Yeah, I'm surprised that what we learned earlier on in our season was that the IRS has a full task force dealing with the blockchain. And so right. I'm still caught off guard that they would be so concerned about your verification for ID on the front end. I mean, it's got to come down to this. We're in this interim, this period of time between catching up to the technology. We must have federal regulators saying, if you're going to be in this business, you have to collect this data to protect yourself. So that Bitso is probably like, I don't want to take the chance of getting in trouble with wherever their federal government is, and whether they're based in the United States or some other country. They've made the decision not to be liable for you and the way you behave with Bitcoin in their services. So they're just going to find out who you are right up front. But I do believe that we're going to very quickly transition where all that security is just moot. It's more for tracking customers than it is for liability, because we'll have a system in the IRS that can just track down each Bitcoin, because it's possible. It's just been impractical till recently.
Well, I was the Local Bitcoins was easy, especially in Mexico, because I had an account at BBVA. And if you have an account, they just pay at that bank, and then they just transfer the Bitcoins to you. But I haven't been finding that in the United States, so I went with the PayPal guy. He's just slower. But the whole thing is, I pay a service charge to have my account at the TV, a yearly service charge, and now they're charging you to pay with the Bitcoin. So on top of your $100 a year that I pay, then I have to pay with the Bitcoin. Then when you buy the Bitcoins to pay for the TV service, you have to pay a service charge on top of that, where we didn't have to do that before.
You're talking about the Bitcoin service charge, is that right?
No, the IPTV. And the Bitcoin service charge. So say, for instance, I pay $100 a year to have my license with the IPTV.
Right.
Okay, and when I pay that $100 on top of that, I have to pay the service charge for the Bitcoin.
Right, but it's not related to the service. It's related to doing Bitcoin with the PayPal guy. Is that right?
Correct. Where we used to just give them our credit card.
Right.
Now they only take the Bitcoin. So instead of $100 now, it costs me almost $115 to pay with the Bitcoin, because the Bitcoin guys charge you all the service charge.
Right. Well, that is kind of their prerogative. They're doing the exchange and they can charge whatever they want to make the exchange. The idea that Bitcoin was so inexpensive was because those service fees didn't, there was no competition for that. It was all done technically. And now we've reached a generation where people are creating these exchanges, or businesses are creating these exchanges, and they want to make money off of them. They're selling convenience.
Right.
Of course, 5 days doesn't sound very convenient to me.
Well, you were supposed to originally be able to use these Bitcoin services without a hassle, but now you have to give them all your ID.
Yeah, well, that would be being concerned about regulation and enforcement. It's all about taxes, is being able to track where this money comes from and goes to. Well, that's why the IRS is so intimately involved in it. They're probably going to end up being the Bitcoin experts. Well, I appreciate the contribution. Wow, I don't know about you guys. I'm finding this meeting a whole lot easier than the last meetings we've been doing.
Well, they are, because they're going from person to person. When you start talking, then the picture goes to you.
Yeah.
But I gave you a topic about extenders, and maybe you can talk a little bit about extenders.
Well, certainly. You know, Linda, we have talked about extenders quite a bit. Did you have something specific on extenders you wanted to cover?
Well, I learned something from installing my little TV boxes with extenders.
Okay, what did you learn?
Well, I went to somebody's house, and we were trying to install the TV box on the extender out in the living room. And it turned out that I had to go in there, and there was a box in there inside the in the TV box that wanted a location service. And then I clicked that box on the location service, and it hooked right up to the extender, because I was having a problem with the extenders having to use a cable.
Between the box and the extender, that's what you were doing?
Yeah, using a cable, because it does work better with the cable.
Sure, sure. In fact,
but I just went to somebody's house, and it worked fine with the cable, but when we unplugged the cable, it wouldn't work. So I started hunting around, and then I saw this location box, and it says location, and I checked the box, and bingo, it was right on the wireless.
What is the location box when you check it? What is it referring to? Or what name brand extenders are you using?
I don't know the name of this brand this person had.
Oh, okay.
But it was working fine with my big long cable. I travel with a big long cable so I can set people up, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But when we unplugged it, it didn't work. So I started hunting and hunting and hunting, and I remembered this little box I saw, and then I went into the location service. And there it said, check the box, and I checked it, and it came on wireless.
You know, the only...
So it must be something that has to pick up that box.
The only thing I could imagine a locations option would be in a router would be talking... It would be referring to, like, FCC regulations. I mean, each country has its own version of the FCC, and there's certain frequencies that are limited in whichever country you're working in. That's it. That's the only thing I can think of that would affect your Wi-Fi. And I mean, I'd be really interested in knowing what name brand it is.
I don't know what the name of their box was. You know what? I didn't write it down. But then I came home and I started playing around with my little IPTV box.
Yeah.
And yes, there is a box in there in the directory that says location service. And when I click on that box, it's like it picks up the wirelessly, because I have my TV box plugged directly into the extender.
Okay.
And so I went in and I checked that box and I unplugged it, and it worked fine. So there must be something in the TV box about picking up the extenders, and that's what they're calling location service.
Huh. All of that sounds very odd to me. I'd like more information about it. If you come across more information, please let me know.
So I see Dave Anderson's on here. Maybe he knows.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing today? I'm hoping it's working for you.
His mic is off.
Dave, can you hear us okay? I hope he's able to hear us.
He's got his microphone off.
Yeah. I like this mosaic view we've got going, too. We got 10 people in this group. That's including me, so there's 9 of you on screen. Oh, there's Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing? Hey, Dave, your mic sounds horrible. Like, almost like you're talking into something that's not a mic. I'm sorry, man. You're just coming across as static. I can hear there are supposed to be words, but it's intelligible. Can anybody hear Dave?
Okay.
I'm not sure what's going on with Dave's mic, but I bet picking a new mic.
I can't hear it either.
Jim, you're having the same issue. I bet we're all having the same issue. Everything is working so well. I'm imagining it's got to be a mic issue on the other side.
Did we lose Paul?
Paul,
no, I'm here.
Paul,
you know, I want to hear Chester's dog's opinion.
I just saw Chester. That's a great dog. What's your dog's name?
Audio
Puddles.
Puddles. Puddles.
BTW.
I'm going to guess that's an appropriate name.
Any suggestions?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last comment. Who was talking? Hello? Hello? Is there anybody
else? Jim Cunningham was saying something because we kept flashing to Jim Cunningham, but then I'm not sure if he was talking to somebody else.
Sorry about that. I was actually texting Dave Anderson.
Oh.
And didn't realize I hadn't shut off my mic. I dictate text. Sorry.
That's absolutely okay, Jim. I'm just very happy that we're having a full, robust conversation here. I'm very happy about it. It's just I don't feel like things are breaking down around me, which is the experience we've been having every week. I've gotten more tolerant and patient, but it's... This, I mean, I almost feel relaxed. Hey, besides extenders and Trump and Bitcoin, which are all great topics for the computer club, and Edge not working, of course, I'm going through my list right now. Did anybody get a chance to look at some of the stuff I sent out yesterday? Did anybody have an opinion or interest in any of those topics? I wanted to point out to people that are using Android devices, I think I found a much better YouTube application. I have an Android TV, and it's one of those Chinese knockoff boxes. I think mine's called an M9 C Max 4K. In fact, I will... look at that. Is my free camera working? No, of course it's not. That would be too much to ask.
Who's vacuuming?
Somebody's cleaning the house?
No, I get vacuum sounds and it's not my house.
You know that for certain.
Absolutely.
So, my box comes with a YouTube app that has stopped working. And so I have had to... There we go. This is my box right here. Can people see that okay?
Uh-huh.
So this runs Android 6. It's some knockoff version. It's not very clear who's... I mean, basically, I'm responsible for it. Now, there is no company being responsible for this device. And the YouTube app on it stopped working. Actually, like last year, it stopped working. And it would not update through Google Play. I couldn't go to YouTube and download an app for it. Yada, yada. It's just all these same kind of experiences that people have with these kinds of devices that go out of date. And so what I've been doing is I've been going to a shady source, not a Google Play store, downloading the YouTube app that shouldn't be compatible with my device, and installing it, and things like the remote control don't work very well. So where did I put it? So I'm having to keep a keyboard on it, and I've got a mouse as well for the box. Uh-oh. Go away, Trump.
I've been saying that for a while. But wait, I'm not talking, am I?
I hear you, Mom. So I got a keyboard, I got a mouse, and I do recommend all these different kinds of devices when you use an Android TV like this, because it just opens up all possible solutions to problems that may exist when you use a device like this. But the YouTube app is painful, and it freezes, and it doesn't display. It'll display in a little window, and I'll have to stop it and start it again, and when I start it again, it'll be in the right size. It'll freeze in the middle of a video, and the only solution I found is to reboot the box. What all this is coming down to is I switched to this smart YouTube TV app, and it looks like YouTube, but better. It's got the headings on the top like a smart TV does. The searches work. All my problems have gone away with this version of YouTube for my Android TV. So I highly recommend Smart YouTube TV. You can find it at smartyoutubetv.github.io. And, let me see. This is the website. Where am I? I want to look at... Yeah, this is the website. I thought I was showing this to you this whole time. But this Smart YouTube TV, if you've been using an Android device and you're being patient with your YouTube app, if you're using an Android TV device, I think a good example of that might be one of Linda's IPTV boxes. If they have a YouTube app and you found that you're having to be patient with it, you may want to try this Smart YouTube TV. I have fallen in love with it. I will use it before the YouTube app anytime.
Well, one of the best boxes out there right now, the two best boxes out there right now, yes, are the Dreamlink and the Buzz TV. Actually, the Buzz TV is better than the Dreamlink, but the Dreamlink is a fabulous 4K box if you buy the T3. So it runs you about $149, but the picture is absolutely fabulous, 4K. The sound is great. The YouTube is fabulous. The only thing that's not good on it, for people that don't have smart TVs, is the Netflix. The Netflix on it is not good. I don't know why, but you can't get to all the boxes of the shows, and you have to go over to the side and do their listing, and it's kind of a pain, so I don't recommend the Netflix on there. Everyone that's got it has problems with it. YouTube on there is fabulous.
Can you use on that box? I know I started by talking about YouTube, and you've brought me to Netflix. Can you use a keyboard to fix issues like not being able to access the boxes on the Netflix app?
Well, absolutely. I recommend everybody getting the keyboards because it's easier to find the movies, and it's easier to search for the movies because you can use the keyboard to click and then type in the movie you're looking for. And that particular box has Google Play in it. It has Cinema HD. You can put on all, you can get on the internet on it. You can put on all kinds of stuff. And it's way better. The Chrome on it is way better than the Chrome, say, on the Samsung. The Samsung Chrome web thing is not very good. It jumps around. It's really difficult to get to stuff. And the Chrome app on this Dreamlink is way better.
Dreamlink. And what was the model you said? Dreamlink and what?
T3
Dreamlink. And
right, and you order it. The company's in Canada, actually. And I have the link for it to buy from them because they give you a little discount. They give you, they don't charge any freight, and you buy it directly from them. If you start buying from Amazon, they don't give you a warranty. The Dreamlink people give you the warranty on the box. They also have help if you need some help, hey, where you don't get any kind of support if you buy it from Amazon or if you buy it from...
Now, Linda, if I'm remembering right, what you're turning people on to with IPTV is an app now, right? It's not a special piece of equipment, except you are picking out the equipment that runs the app the best. Is that right?
Right. These run the IPT apps the best. Gives you the clarity and gives you. They're the best because I used to run another one called the Mag TV and it just kind of went downhill. But these two TV boxes are the best. And basically, they're the ones that most of the IPTVs recommend those two boxes.
At that price point, I'm curious, how does it compare to using one of these 4K Fire Sticks?
The 4K Fire Stick is really difficult to put the TV, IPTVs on.
Okay. Is that from an installer's point of view or because you got to do technical stuff?
Well, because they took, Amazon took off some of the programs that you needed to put the IPTV on. And I think they were trying to block it because they wanted to put on their own services. And they want you to pay a lot of money.
Right, sure. But
YouTube TV is pretty expensive.
Well, for example, I'm using a 4K Fire Stick right now, and the YouTube and the Netflix experience are insanely great on it. The frustration of being here in Mexico is I can't do a Prime experience at all on it. But it's a great device for Kodi, for Streamio, for YouTube, for everything but Amazon, I'm really happy with it. And I'm just curious if your IPTV app works well on it. I'm familiar with the installer issue. I'm trying to remember what I'm using right now. But there is a program, I guess, is it called Downloader? That as well as the Silk browser now, I'm able to go to places like Kodi.tv and download directly. The problem I find with the 4K, the Fire Stick 4K, is the limited amount of space in it. So I really feel like if I add too many apps, I have to have a collection of apps I'm ready to give up so that I have space in it. And there isn't an easy supplemental space to add to it like these TV boxes. These TV boxes give us micro SD cards that we're able to add more space to, and the Fire Stick doesn't do that.
Well, the problem with the Fire Stick is they blocked Picture Perfect or Perfect Picture, whichever one it, I think it's Perfect Picture, and you needed Perfect Picture for some of those extra IPTVs, so they blocked that. We spent 2 days up at Jerry Anderson's trying to get the IPTV onto the Fire Stick, and we never did.
Oh, wow. Never occurred to me that could be an issue.
Right. Because they don't have, like I said, they block some of these other programs to get these TVs onto them, the TV boxes. But this is a box. It's got everything in it, and it's got its own, you can put a lot of different programs on it. It's got 2 gigabytes of RAM in it. So it's got a lot of space in it. It's got 2 USB ports in it. So you can put your stick in one and you can put your keyboard in the other one, which is nice. I only use a keyboard on it, especially looking, like I said, for the movies.
Yeah.
But I need the keyboard like when I'm setting people up, because you've got to put in all this information. And it's easier with the keyboard than the hunt and peck.
Sure. Yeah. No, I feel the same way. Whenever we're working with equipment like this, Android-based equipment, it feels like you have to add a keyboard. I held this up before. This is my favorite keyboard. This is a K830. It supports both Bluetooth and a wireless dongle and has a trackpad on it. And so you get a mouse and a keyboard all in one package. It's backlit, so you can see the keys in the dark in a living room.
Okay, I'm using the Logitech K400 Plus.
K400 Plus?
You don't need a mouse with it. It's just got the pad and everything.
Yeah.
And you can buy them on eBay for $20.
Oh, cool. Is that one Bluetooth as well as dongle?
It's everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I like about this is I can swap.
You need the dongle.
Oh, okay. So this keyboard, is it backlit? Give me your model number again.
No.
That's what I love about this keyboard is I got this refurbished. I've got 2 of these in my life, and I got them refurbished on Amazon for $40 to $60, depending on when I bought them.
Okay, well, these are only $20. Mm-hmm. So the one I have now is the old one, which is the K400R, but the new one is the K400 Plus.
Okay, but they're not backlit. And that's what I really like about a living room keyboard is having it light up so that typing isn't a big deal. My Samsung remote control isn't backlit, so I almost have to turn on a light to see what button I'm pressing on the remote. It's infuriating.
Oh, well, no, these are only $20. This is what I tell most people to buy is just these $20 ones, just so when they're hunting for the movies and stuff.
You said it's a K414?
400 plus.
400 plus.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a look at both the box that you're using and the keyboard you're using. I'm really curious how the Dreamlink T3 compares to the InShield. NVIDIA has what people are saying is the best streaming box, but it's expensive. It's pricey. If I remember right, it's about $200.
Okay, but I don't know if you can put the IPTV into it. You have to check that. See, like from my company, they give you the boxes they want. You can use the AVOV box too, A-V-O-V.
A-V-O-V, okay.
Yeah. These boxes, you can put in the IPTV. The problem with some of the boxes is you can't put in the IPTV code that they give you.
You know, I feel like we're having a discussion that only a few of us really have I really care about, but I think I can bring it back to something that we all would care about, and that is what Linda and I are talking about are Android-based devices, and what really matters to me at a $150 price point is that company doesn't just go out of business tomorrow. The hardware manufacturer, like I was showing you before, I have this this knockoff Chinese box. There's little support for it. I would never recommend for any of you folks to buy my box, the box I have, because the last thing I would want one of my customers to do is become a TV box administrator versus a TV watcher. I think that there's too many nuances in making this stuff work, and you should spend less time making it work and more time using it. And so when, if you were interested in any of this stuff, I'm interested in the manufacturer's support of the equipment. So if I pay $150 for a TV box, I'm more likely to put it into an Amazon Fire Stick because Amazon's not going to give up on my equipment. Whereas Bikil, I think is the name of the company that built my box, can't even find them on the internet half the time. We're all on our own to figure out what's going on. I don't think that's a good customer experience. It's a good hacker experience, but it's not a good customer experience.
Before we leave the keyboard issue,
sure, Chester.
Can you again name the manufacturer of the K400 Plus?
It's a Logitech.
Logitech. Thank you.
Yeah, but Chester, I would compare it to the Logitech 830, the K830. And I would spend the extra money specifically for the backlit keyboard. I think that that is totally worth it. I think the ability to light up these keys in the dark make a real big difference.
Oh, and yeah.
I think that it's worth the extra $40 if that's what it's going to cost to get it.
And that's Logitech also.
As well, yes. This also, I Linda, going back to the keyboard you're using, does it have a built-in battery, or do you have to provide your own batteries for it?
No, you got to provide your own batteries, and it's strictly dongle.
Okay, so what this keyboard is, it's Bluetooth, so you don't need a dongle if you're using a Bluetooth device, but it also comes with a dongle. So you can use it in devices that don't support Bluetooth. It also has a built-in battery like a cell phone. And you can use your cell phone charger. I don't know which camera I'm looking at. You can use a cell phone charger to charge it up. I plug this keyboard into my cell phone charger about once every 4 weeks. It takes about 2 hours, charges the battery, and then I unplug it and forget about it.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. That's why I've got two of them. I think if I need another one, I'll buy another one of that model. Probably this one I definitely keep in my office. And the only thing that from an office perspective, I wouldn't mind it being slightly bigger. It's intentionally a narrower keyboard because it's intended for a living room use. Can you guys see how narrow it is compared to a standard keyboard?
Mm-hmm.
You see that? The keyboard I'm showing you has a trackpad. Yeah. Does that work? There we go. I got a little extra. Yep. Yeah, so the keyboard I'm showing you for TV use has a trackpad. My standard office keyboard doesn't. And you can see how narrow this keyboard is compared to a standard keyboard. And so for an office environment, I would look for the model that has a larger keyboard presence. But for the living room, I think this is the perfect keyboard.
Well, it's similar to mine. It has the trackpad over on the side and the buttons. The thing is, you got to be careful with some of the keyboards because they don't work on the TVs and they don't work on the little boxes.
Again, that's the reason I like this Logitech, because it's got both Bluetooth and dongle support. So I've been able to use it everywhere I've plugged it in.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Because I have to go to people's houses, so I need the dongle.
Yeah, so you've got a dongle as well with this one. But like a perfect world, you would just connect it by Bluetooth.
Yeah, you would. You could. Because I always have to make sure I have the dongle when I leave their house. I've left the dongle in the TV box and had to go back and get it.
Oh, no. Hey, you know what? On the dongle question, I know this is all kind of silly stuff, but it literally affects us in the way we do things. This particular keyboard does not have a place to put the dongle. And yours may. I have some other Logitech keyboards where I can pull out where the batteries are and stick the dongle to store it. But this keyboard, if I want to bring the dongle, I got to stick the dongle in my pocket.
What's the model of that one again?
The one I'm talking about, Fred, is a K830 from Logitech. And I think, Linda...
K830.
And Linda, you're going to show us the 414. Yeah, I've got that keyboard as well. I love that keyboard. I got that before I got into this one. So if...
Yeah, well, this is old.
If you look at the battery compartment of that, there's a place to put your dongle.
Yes, there is.
And I miss that with this keyboard. Yeah, that's perfect, Linda. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Is that... Oh, wait, nobody can see that. Hold on, or I can't see it. Hold on a second. Do that again.
Oh.
Show us the battery compartment again, or for the dongle. On the cover there is a clip that she can clip her dongle to and stick it in the battery compartment.
Logitech does that on a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely the innovators in this space. So Linda, on your keyboard, the thing that I don't appreciate about it is that it doesn't have a backlight and it doesn't have Bluetooth. And the thing I don't appreciate about my keyboard is that there's no place to put the dongle. So if I want to do like you, I want to take the keyboard over to a customer's house and I want to bring the dongle, I got to stick the dongle in my pocket. Go ahead, Cheryl. I see you have a question.
Well, I kind of hate to interrupt the Linda and Scott. Show me yours.
Show me yours. I'll show you mine.
Yeah. on one of your topics for today, Scott, you talked about the new features in Chrome. Could you explain that?
Sure. Yeah, let's move on. Linda and I can talk about tech to bore everyone else in the group. So let's go on to another topic. What I was pointing out, there's a YouTube video. I sent it out. I'll put it in the links of this as well. But the new version of it covers in the new version of Chrome five different things that what's his name? He's a very popular guy, and I'm missing it right now. Isaac Asgard. I think no, that's not the right link. Give me one second. Why am I not? You can go on my journey with me. Where to go? Here it is. So yeah, it's a YouTube video from this guy I follow from CNET. I should say it's from CNET because I can't pronounce his name at the
moment. You can tell a lot from a wine.
Go away. Go away. We don't care about that. But what he was covering in this video is, gosh, I did it again. I just pushed that away when I wanted to look here. There are five things that you can appreciate in the new version of Chrome. Some of this is very nuanced, and you would have to take off and learn yourself, but some of it's very straightforward stuff that is just like a turn on and turn off. I made a list of the five topics here so I could read them off. Enhanced safe browsing, a safety check, tab grouping, a new way to get to an extensions, and cookie settings. Now, out of these, I think the ones that we care about are cookie settings, tab groupings, and the rest here. I mean, extensions, I don't know if any of you are actually using any extensions. It's really kind of a shout out saying, hey, it's a lot easier to get to your extensions now. It can be right on your bar as a one button thing, whereas before it was very convoluted to get into the extensions. I get the impression that a lot of the folks I work with aren't installing extensions in their browser. They're just loading up Chrome and using it. Does that sound correct? Would others agree with that? Do people know what I'm talking about when I say extensions?
No.
Yeah. I think we're going to leave it at that. We can have an extensions conversation at some point. In fact, I can give you a great example of extensions just very quickly. I was helping a buddy of mine translate Amazon.mx. He wanted to do some shopping in Mexico. We ended up spending about 40 minutes with his web browser trying to the nice thing was, in the end, it turned out what he was trying to do was buy me a present for my 50th birthday. And so we got done with all this tech troubleshooting I was doing for him. He's just a buddy in the States. And it turns out what I was doing was helping him buy me a birthday present. I didn't even realize. The translation is an extension that has to be added. In fact, if I share my screen, let me see here, go back over here. If you look up here in the bar, no, that's horrible. You can't see that well at all, can you? Let me do this, share this monitor. There we go. Up here in the bar is the Google Translate, and this needs to be installed if you're going to translate pages. It's an extension. Anyway, I don't want to get way off on extensions. Because easy access to it makes a lot of sense to me, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to normal people because I don't think normal people use a lot of extensions. What I do think makes sense to normal people is the idea that you can get rid of specific cookies. Since the time you've been on the internet having problems, you've had people like me say, well, dump your cookies, erase your history. I'm sure you've heard these statements before. Up until this version of Chrome, you could not do anything. I mean, if you're going to follow that advice, what you're essentially doing is you are eliminating all the convenience that cookies allow you across all sites. I.e., you could not pick and choose what cookies to get rid of. To create a scenario for you, you go to Amazon.com and it won't let you log in. And you know the password's right. Or maybe it lets you log in, but it's not displaying the information correctly. No matter what you do, you refresh the page, you close your web browser, you open it again, whatever you do, it's just not right. So you call me on the phone, you Scott, it's just not right. How do I fix it? Well, one of the first fixes that people like me always recommend is clear your history, clear your cache, clear your cookies, and try again. Well, in the past, when you do that, it may have fixed Amazon, but it's created an inconvenience for you everywhere else. All of a sudden, you go to your bank, you have to re-log in. You go to eBay, you have to re-log in. You go to Hotmail, you have to re-log in. Some of these sites you might have been visiting for months. You may have even changed your password at some point and forgotten what it is. A very inconvenient thing to do. It may have fixed your problem, but it's creating inconveniences all across your experience. So one of the new features in Chrome is this ability to remove the cookies for a specific site. So if you're having problems with Amazon, you could go straight into Amazon's set of cookies and remove all those. And when you removed all those, it didn't have an effect on your experience in other places on the internet. Now, I've said all this knowing full well I haven't learned how to do this yet.
Scott, I got a question.
I know it exists, but I'm not ready to show you how to do it yet. And I would be happy to cover it next week with a show and tell of how to do this. Go ahead, Bill. What do you got for me?
Well, as you were talking, I decided on the on my other laptop to download the new Google Chrome.
Yes.
And when it installed, it comes up with Bing on the Microsoft. How come?
Well, I would imagine that you have some settings left around. Did you have a previous version of Chrome?
Yeah.
It could be that you had it set to Bing in your previous version of Chrome, and it's grabbed those settings with the new version of Chrome.
Possibly. Yeah.
You do have control over, I mean, that I can actually, I can very, very much show you how to deal with. If we, where am I here? I'm going to bring on my screen. There is Bill in a window. And I'm going to settings. I don't know if you can see me okay, Bill. You should see me and a menu coming down the side from the more. For anybody that doesn't know, when we say more menu nowadays, it's referring to the three dots. So I'm in the more menu, the three dots in the upper right-hand corner of Chrome. And I'm going down to settings, and I'm bringing up settings. And then what you're looking for is search engines. It's here on the settings in the left column.
I'm with you.
Okay. And then the top one under search engine is your default search engines.
Yeah. I just said it. It was Bing, and I set it to Google.
There you go. You can also manage. Go ahead, Bill.
How much are you charging for this service call?
Nothing. This is the reason people show up for Computer Club.
Oh, there you go.
So I went a step further in this topic. Right below, this is the search bar in your address bar. So when you type something, if you're still following me around, if you type a search into this bar instead of an address, like what's a good search? Anchorage, Walkabout, B&B. So that search shoots off to Google. If I change it to Bing, if I type in the address bar, Anchorage. Oh, look at that. It's pulling what to search for from the search engine. So I haven't searched in Bing for Anchorage Walkabout Town. So there is no history of it. There will be a history after this. And now I've gone to Bing. As easy as going into settings and just switching which one I want to use for the search. And that's still in the settings. I've gone back to Google. So there's another one here, Manage Search Engine. And under the search, yeah. Manage Search Engine.
Get rid of all the crap.
Get rid of all the crap. And the frustrating thing of where we're at right now, you see all these other search engines? These have been added automatically. I have not added any of this stuff. This is all based on surfing the internet and coming across websites that have built themselves to be search engines as well. And when Chrome discovers that from the site you're on, it automatically adds it to this list of potential other search engines. Now down here, they're not really hurting anything. In fact, it's actually a feature. But some of these go as far as like this right here. I didn't put that in there. Some website conned me into adding that. I don't want that. I'm just going to remove it. And now that won't show up in any list of potential search engines that I use. I don't know if anybody's still interested in this topic. I've run out of information.
Well, I was following you, and it works quite well so far.
Excellent. Search engines in Chrome is one of our topics. I'm just making a note. Would anybody like to comment on any of that? Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I think you solved the problem. Thanks, Scott.
Oh, you're very welcome. So we were talking about extensions, cookie settings that I'm not ready to show you, but we can talk about it next week because I will definitely figure it out by then. tab grouping I'm very happy with. I want to show you guys that right now. I think that you guys would find this useful, especially if you're somebody that feels like you're doing lots of research on the internet and you're losing track of the pages that you're keeping open. And so I'm going to open up. Here we go. I'm going to open up if you... Oh, you can't see me yet. I can see me, but you can't see me. There we go. So let's just say I am on my to-do list. This is my computer club topics. And these are all topics that we have opened up about computer club. I don't want to lose these. I want to keep them handy. But they're not related to other things I'm doing. Like over here, this is my this is the website for the computer club. And this is the stream going out on YouTube right this moment. People are seeing this stream. This is my version of this stream. This is the administrative. Well, this isn't really what I want to have grouped with my topics. I want these three tabs grouped together right now. And so I'm going to use tab grouping to do that. And it's very easy to do. If you're following along, you can take a topic with the right mouse button, click on the tab, and you can say add to new group. So I'm going to create a new group, and if you're looking at my screen, you can see that there's a color that's been put around this particular tab, and a dot to the left of the same color. I'm clicking on the dot, and I'm going to name this group Club Topics. And now you can see that I've got a header called Club Topics, and I've got one tab in the topics. I want to add these other two topics to that. So I'm just going to click with the right mouse button, and I'm going to add to an existing group. Again, I'm going to take this other topic. I want to make sure this is part of that same group. So with the right mouse button, I'm going to click on it, and I'm going to choose Add to Existing Group. So now all three of these topics, all three of these tabs are tabbed together in a tab group called Club Topics. And one of the really neat things about this is I can grab the header Club Topics and I can grab all three of those tabs and keep them together.
Oh.
So
how do you do this?
Again, the way you would do this is you would click on the first tab that you want to group together, and you would choose Add to New Group. That would create the tab. So what I've covered for you is two different activities. One is to create the tab group. That one, and it's the first tab that you use. So whatever you need to pick a tab, and that's going to be the first one in the group, and you click on that tab with the right mouse button, and you choose Add to New Group. Let me do this again. I do this a lot with Google News. I open up, as I'm doing research for the computer club, I open up Tech News from Google. So if you're still following along with me, here's a list of tech topics coming up for me. And what I'll do is I will take that first tab and I'll say Add to New Group. You'll see it'll create a color around that tab and a color, a spot to the left of it. I'll click on the spot and I will label it something like Tech News. And maybe I'll pick a different color because I've already got a tab group going, so I don't want to confuse the two color-wise. So I'll make this one orange. And I'm interested in Amazon will shut down fashion focused Echo look in July. I'll open this in a separate tab. You see how it opened in this other tab over here? I just click with the right mouse button and said choose open in new tab. So I've got And I want to make sure this, oh, in fact, because it came from this tab, it was immediately added to the tech news tab. You see that? Now, if I had opened a tab and I created something that I wanted as part of the group, let me open something else. We'll open this robots tab. So you see how this tab is not automatically part of the group. The Amazon link that I hit from being in the group added it immediately to the group. Whereas I opened a new tab and put content in it just now, you can see it's not part of the group. Let me get you a better visual.
Okay, can you get rid of the group?
I can't. Yeah, you can close group.
Okay.
You see how everything in the group just disappeared?
If you do a cleanup, do you lose these?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, as soon as I close the browser, the groupings go away. Now, I should have known somebody would ask about this. Hold on a second. I have lost my place in my presentation. Where are we? Is that okay? That's good enough. No, that's not good enough. This is what I'm looking for, and this is what I want you to see. So,
Scott, let me stop you 1 minute. Is there any way to make your screen take over all the screens? I can't see what you're doing.
Yes. I am clicked on the wrong thing. There we go. Are you seeing just me as I'm talking? And if you're not,
no.
Okay, if you're not seeing just me as I'm talking, look for me, and then in the middle of the screen there's a thumbtack. And if you click the thumbtack, then that'll make me full screen, and what I'm presenting is full screen.
I got it. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. So I'm going to go back to this. Where are we? So many things. What you guys don't know is today I've got 3 monitors helping me all on the same computer. Okay. So we're talking about tab grouping. And so you can see from the coloring that these are all under the tab group color club topics. Ba-bap, ba-bap, ba-bap. And Linda's question was, can I remove them all? And you can do that by clicking with the right mouse button on the group header, and close group will close all these windows, all these tabs under that group will close all at once. If I close this page, I've lost that tab group. There is an app. There is an extension. We were talking about extensions. There is an extension that I will bring next week because I don't remember the name of it and I've never used it. But as I was researching this topic, I discovered that there is an extension that I definitely want to use that lets us save those tab groups. So you can close the window, but go back to a list that you've had. Yes, Linda.
So when you open the window again, though, your tabs are there?
That's right. I don't know how to do that yet. I just learned about it. But there's an extension you can add to your Chrome browser that will allow you to keep a history of your tab groups, so that you can open up group by group. This is what I've read. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to find out how to do it, and I'm going to bring it next week. Oh, and I was going to add it to my list of topics, and I just realized I closed it in my demonstration. So that's not helpful.
Before we get out of here, is the meeting ID going to remain the same every week, does it change weekly?
This is the plan, is that the meeting ID should be able to stay the same. You do need a Google account to be here with us. I'm not sure this is our final, so what I'm going to keep doing is I'm going to keep the Skype conversation going so that people that are having issues with this form. I don't know if you've noticed, but this form of meeting doesn't seem to have any way to keep a history. If that makes sense. Like, you can go back to the Skype meeting that we've been having, and the Skype meeting keeps a history of things like pictures and videos we've recorded. We can share things to it. I've got the Skype meeting on the screen right now if you're looking at me. And you see, there's this cool stuff that we can do in Skype that this Google Meets is not allowing us to do. In fact, I was a little nervous. I've held on to this Meet code because I couldn't find a history of the Meet anywhere. Maybe these things will change as Meet becomes more popular. But right now, I feel like there's nothing like we've got this chat going on in the side here. You know, hello group. But we can't put anything else in there except chat. We can't put pictures in there. We can't put videos in there. We can't share links in there, from what I've been able to discover. Maybe it's something in the future we'll be able to do, but we're not able to do it right now. So next week, I think I'm going to engage you in the same way I did this week. I am going to send you the exact same links to Skype and the exact same links to this meeting. So you can use historic stuff or you can use the next announcement. It's all going to be the same. And the only thing that will change it is if we find some abuse. If for some reason, you know, these Zoom bombing stories we hear about, all of a sudden we've got people coming on with profanity or advertisers trying to join us, then we will switch meetings very quickly to a new number. How's everybody doing out there in quarantine land?
Scott, throughout the meeting, I've seen you about 10% of the time. Like when you were talking to Linda, her screen was on twice. And all the displays, when you moved around to show what you were doing on the computer, I could see that.
Yes.
But I very rarely saw you.
Well, then I think you're fortunate because I am not a good figure to keep an eye on. So, Irving, what I'm trying to do is I've got my studio pushing through Hangouts. Here, there I am.
There you are.
Yeah. And so what I'm trying to give you on your end is the presentation. And so as I'm doing stuff, I'm maybe not the subject. So I mean maybe you prefer having a talking head, but I'd like to show you the content of what we're talking about. So I think probably at most 20% of seeing me is probably a good thing.
Got it.
You probably can notice it right now, Irving, is when somebody else is talking, like Linda or yourself, I'm sticking you. I'm trying to maintain this Google Meet right here. So if people have put me front and center, they've thumbtacked me to as the main presentation, then when you're talking, I'll put you on my screen. And when Linda's talking, I'll put her on my screen. Otherwise, if you don't use the thumbtack, Meet will do its best to bring the person talking forward. But I'm trying to bring the person forward as well. So like when I was talking to Chester earlier, I was doing this. I was bringing him up instead of me. I'm in the corner, but Chester's full frame.
Uh-huh.
I understand. Good.
Yeah. So all this is intentional. And what I got to tell you is it is working awesome on my end.
Okay. Can I ask a question, though, regarding when you put on your computer a screen that, like Google, where you were talking about the various, and took your mouse to, all right, that, okay, when I see that, I can barely make out what it says. The clarity, it's better now than it was earlier.
I'm afraid, yeah. Chester, the unfortunate thing about what we're doing is that
it got ugly there. But a while ago, it was very clear.
I think what this is stuff that we just have to learn how to tolerate. We're at the mercy of the speeds of internet. This program is working so well, though. I think what we were dealing with in Skype is it might have been clear, but it was choppy, and I didn't have good control, and things were crashing around me.
Just now, you had a very clear presentation, and then it went bad.
Yeah, and I think that what we're dealing with is internet connections. I mean, it really depends on what we're trying to... What happened? Where'd I go? What have I done? What have I done? You guys are still here, right?
Yeah.
I have lost our meeting. There we are. Totally lost our meeting. I've got too many screens. I've got three screens, all these windows open. So in the way we were doing it in the past, I don't think Skype was doing a good job of managing how we used bandwidth. I think that what was happening is that things were getting delayed, like the audio at times was getting delayed. I think that it would get fuzzy at times. I think it was giving up fuzziness, though, for clarity. So we might have had a clear picture, but it wasn't keeping up with what I was doing. So I'd do something and it would be delayed. I'd say something and it would be delayed. And we're not having that experience in this meeting. I think what we're having in this meeting is an experience where the quality goes crappy, but the real time is very effective. So I think it's something we're just going to have to tolerate.
Well, hey, Chester, what's your speed in Oregon?
28 megabytes per second.
Well, that's
awesome.
Good.
Yeah. I suspect that the clarity issue, though it could be a problem. Is that really what I've got on the screen right now? Sorry, guys.
Your keyboard.
My keyboard is not supposed to be on the screen. I keep hitting the wrong button. I'm supposed to be on the screen right now.
There you are.
So I'm afraid that the clarity, even though it could be on your end, is more than likely on my end because of the limited amount of internet I still have in my office. So I think my internet's going up and down, but this program is dealing with it beautifully. There's no choppiness. There's no... All it's doing, though, is it's making it a crappy quality for moments.
I like the words that show up, too. It all gets printed out.
Have you all that are in this meeting discovered this closed caption function?
Yeah.
This is awesome. I'm gonna turn it on right now, and I'm gonna share it with you so you can see what I'm seeing. But you all should be seeing this if you turn it on. Yeah. I think this is an amazing option to have in our meeting. So you're able to see Chester talk because I'm sharing my screen with you right now. Whoever comes across my screen will show up as closed caption. Now, again, the clarity of this stuff is probably based on the amount of internet I have.
No, it sure beats the hell of me having to come down to San Carlos to join the club. But I miss Maggie. Where's Maggie?
I'm surprised she's not here. She's been popping in and out of these meetings from time to time.
Yeah, I saw her at Santa Rosa the other day, and I thought she was going to be on.
Well, guys,
I'm the opposite of Chester. I can't wait to be back down San Carlos to see you guys in person instead of on this. And the thing about this Google, there's no 40-minute limit. It's working way better than the Zoom. And I'm trying to figure out if I could even use it with my family instead of the Zoom. We have one situation where one person is in the United Arab Emirates in Dubai, and her communication is very, very limited. Everything is blocked. So Zoom has been our only option so far, but I'm going to try this one with her.
What? There are things besides working beautifully today. The two things that I'm not appreciating about it is that they have made it free for now. So that's the issue with Zoom, too. They've made it free for now. So if this was something that we would just continue perpetually doing, at some point they may be charging for us to have this kind of experience. And I like free stuff. I don't like having to pay for anything. And you must have a Google account. And that's one thing that I really appreciated about the Zoom and the Skype is that they didn't care. We could just send a link to anyone and they could make an account in the moment. And this really requires beforehand having a Google account. Now, most of us have Google accounts. So as long as we realize we can use our Google account, that's great. But I didn't like that aspect of it. Technically, I think this is the best software we've used so far.
I have one drawback, Scott.
Yes.
When I pulled you up so I could see what you were doing on your computer, I could see that it had, you know, the topics and stuff, I guess, is what we were looking at. But I could not read them. They were very blurry.
This is the clarity that Chester and I were just talking about. Is I think this is it, that clarity could be an issue on your end, but I'm betting it's more than likely today on my end because of the amount of internet I have available.
Well, it seems like it goes in and out. Like right now, you're pretty clear, and then all of a sudden it clicks and you're fuzzy. Sandy was really clear a few minutes ago, and this last transmission, she was all fuzzed out. Yeah, and Sandy, where are you guys?
My husband tells me that every once in a while.
Yeah, and in our household, the experience was that...
Yeah, we're here, Cheryl.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of... Like, that's Bill's computer. He's not sitting at it. I don't know why it's showing up. Oh, I guess maybe because I'm speaking in the same room. Okay. Anyways, hi.
Well,
so on the Bill's on the laptop and his is nice and clear. Mine on the iPhone is all fuzzy. Like he looks fuzzy.
Yeah. You know, actually, because of the way you guys are doing things, I wonder if that's just, like right now you look really clear. You look really clear to me right now. Oh, I can't hear you now.
Sorry. I don't look clear to myself.
So what you're seeing right now is probably me transferring. I'm transmitting back your picture.
Uh-huh. Right. And when I see in my picture of what my camera is taking, it's clear. But what you're posting is fuzzy. So whatever is coming up on your screen when you share it, it's fuzzy.
Yeah, but what I see on this end is perfectly clear. And this going in and out that we keep talking about is very much the way my internet has been behaving the last couple of weeks. So I'm suspecting that the clarity is an issue, at least in this meeting, because of what's happening on my end.
Well, Cheryl... Do you have a lot of bandwidth at your house? Because both of you were on.
I believe that what's happened is during COVID, our internet provider has taken off all limits. So I don't know what our bandwidth is now. Bill checks that kind of thing. But yeah, we've had a really great Wi-Fi during COVID for the same price of what we usually get less.
Hey, I know, but can you both have your computers on at the same time?
Oh, hell yeah.
I think we have about 5 different things hooked up to the internet right now in this household.
That's about what we have.
What will affect it is whatever's happening at the same time. Like with Bill and Cheryl on the same network, both on this meeting at the same time. They're literally cutting their capacity in half between the two of them. So it's a good testimony to how much internet they have. If they started getting choppy and breaking up, the first thing I would recommend is shutting down one of those streams. But we should all be living in a world where we have enough internet that we can maintain two or three video streams at the same time. Now, it gets a little weird from my end because I'm on DSL with Telmex, and what they do is they give me 8 to 10 megabytes to download and at most 5 out, and it's typically less than 5 out. And it's the out you guys are experiencing right now. And so I suspect that, in fact, I should have a monitor running here. I am looking at the wrong monitor. There we go. Okay, so I am able to maintain 2 to almost 3 megabits a second out right now. So I would bet that my out is bouncing up and down, and it's what's causing it to be fuzzy and clear. This cycle of fuzzy and clear.
It just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to see it pop up on my monitor right here in just a moment. Hey, this is a real testimony to how well this meeting is going today. We're all still here. Nobody has decided to leave, and we're a half hour over our end time. This is really the testimony that this technology is working well today. Go ahead. Is there any last? I feel like I need to wrap this up because we've gone way over what our meetings typically run, and my brain is empty. I'm happy to entertain any other questions or topics people would like to add to today's meeting, but I think I'm going to work my way out of it.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, Jim, what you got?
A quick observation. I'm watching, I'm in the meeting on my laptop, Google Meet, but I'm also watching you on my iPad on YouTube. And you're much clearer on the iPad coming through YouTube than you are here in our Google meeting.
Oh, that's excellent.
I don't know what that means.
I was hoping that was the case. I mean, when I talk about having a number of different pieces of software and equipment running on this end, that's really what's going on, is that it's getting streamed out to YouTube. It's getting streamed out to you guys as a meeting. And so I'm glad that the clarity on YouTube is better than the clarity on this meeting. Everything that I'm seeing of you guys is looking really good, so the download on my end is not an issue. It's just sharing this upload speed.
The upload, right. I got another quick question. I have never been able to get my camera to work today since I checked in. I've even rebooted the computer once. Any suggestions?
So you know what I'm going to do, Jim, if you're looking at my screen right now, I'm sharing our conversation, and they've got an icon for you. I'm going to hit this more button down here in the lower right-hand corner and go to settings. This is settings for, if you guys can see this is settings for Google Meet. And then under settings, there's microphone, speaker, that's under audio, and there's video in the middle. And here's where you get to set your camera. Can you see that on the screen okay? I'll let it sit and maybe it'll dial in.
I see on the YouTube video. Wait a minute, let me pin you.
So if you go to, I'll do it again. If you go to the lower right-hand corner of the bar that pops up at the bottom of the screen for Google Meet, there's 3 dots. That's the more menu. Click on that, and menu pops up, and there's settings. And then under settings, there's audio, video, and general. Click on video, and you'll find your camera right there.
And mine then, doesn't have
I have done that.
And then I have a number of cameras. I'm showing HP Truman. Oh, it's set to that, huh? Oh, Jim, do you happen to have Skype running right now? Maybe you have something going on in the background that has grabbed control of that camera.
That could be. I was in Skype earlier, but I closed that out.
Make sure it's not running at all.
Because I can switch between the two cameras that I have, and still nothing happens.
Oh, that's weird.
And this is the first time in the 10 weeks that I've not been able to have a camera operate at my end.
Hey, on your... Oh, you're doing...
So I'll check.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want, let me know, and I can jump into your computer and see what's going on.
Well, hey, I found another thing.
What's that, Linda?
If you go to support, it has a thing that says change your computer's video audio settings.
Where do you find that?
I went to support.
Where?
That was up in the upper right corner, where it said help, and then I went to the support, and it's got record a video meeting.
I'm
how
okay.
How do you people?
Yeah, Linda, you're talking from your tablet running Android.
Right.
Okay, because support is not on the version of Meet that we're using in the web browser.
Okay.
But I suspect that that's the same kind of thing I was just showing Jim in the web browser.
Oh, okay, so it must be in a different...
Yeah, I'm bringing up my Meet app right now just so I can see what you're talking about. Dang it. Can't I go to a historic meeting? Do I have to come up with this code again? Hey, to see your... No. Oh, I can schedule a meeting. I can't find a way to get in here without knowing the meeting code.
There's another setting here, too. It says change your computer's camera and video quality. And it's got video audio delays, and then it's got poor network connection.
Well, now I really want to see this on my screen because that sounds very cool. I'm trying to get into it right now. If you guys are interested in what I'm doing, I'm typing in on my phone to see if I can have the experience Linda's having. And come on, phone. I'll be joining you in a moment if it'll let me. Oh, I got to ask to join. It just won't let me in? Okay, I'm coming in. Okay, and I'm all fuzzy. So on the Android app, you found in the upper right-hand corner the three dots.
Yes.
Let me turn off my mic. Oh, my microphone is off. Oh, I see what's going on. Let me turn down my sound. I hope that turned it. Turn it down. Go away. Go away. It won't go away. Okay. I wish I could show you the screen of this easily. I see help. I don't see anything that says support.
When you click on help.
Okay, help.
But then it goes in and that stuff is in there.
Oh, help brings up a page called support.
Yeah.
And this is all the documentation on recording a meeting. But these are all articles.
No, you can click on them and then they take you to how to do it, what to do.
How to view people in the meeting. How to add, remove people, change your computer's video audio settings. Okay. There we go. So do we find this on the screen here? Where am I? Let me bring my screen back up. Here you guys are. Everybody is still with us. Help. And... how to view people in the meeting using captions. Change your computer's audio video settings. Huh. I don't see it.
Okay. Well, you're on your computer and I'm on my tablet.
Yeah, I see it on my phone. I don't see it on my computer.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really strange. But it's something to research.
You've got settings there and I don't have that.
That's right. In fact, let me see on my phone. What do I got? There's no set. Oh, I've got switch cameras, which is the mobile equivalent of what I was showing Jim. Turn on and off captions. Yeah, it looks like what they've done is just a different interface for the phone and the tablet.
Okay.
Oh, this is all working so well. I'm so pleased. I'm so happy. And it's been such a comfortable... I've got air conditioning. I'm seeing all you guys with no problems. This is by far the best meeting so far, I think. All of you have had an opportunity to contribute, I think, without too much frustration. It's been great. But I think I should shut it down because we're way over. I mean, this is almost a two-hour meeting.
You're having way too much fun. So.
That's right.
Scott, it's free.
Thank you. It's free. Why not just keep going? Well, guys, thank you for coming.
It's lunchtime.
It is. It's almost lunchtime.
No, it's 9:30.
Oh, that's right. Mom's in Alaska at 9:30. Here.
I was just going to say, maybe we should share recipes.
Cookie recipes.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey.
Bill's sourdough has been working really well.
Hey, look, you guys are welcome to stay in this meeting as long as you want, but I am shutting it down on my end. I want to thank you all again for being here. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions and the San Carlos Computer Club. If you are interested in any of these meetings, if you're interested in the podcast, if you're interested in our website, you can get to all that information from sccclub.org. Oh, hey, and I forgot to mention, I'm going to change the logo. I was hoping Eduardo would join us today, but I guess he didn't get a chance to get in. But this marketer from Wymas volunteered. I guess he's been following our club, and he volunteered to make us a new logo. I kind of like it, so I'm going to keep collaborating with him, and you might see some different styles coming in on the webpage and on the Facebook page. So look forward to that. You know what I liked about his logo? Well, I kind of liked how cryptic the S3C thing was. I thought it looked easy to deal with the colors, and it might make a good T-shirt. So feel free to share with me any of your opinions on this stuff, but I think I'm going to move forward with that new design. Anyway.
Cool. I just wanted to tell you that I left the meeting, and then my iPhone had a thing that said rejoin. So I do have a little bit of a history.
Oh, excellent. That's awesome. All right. Well, hey, guys, until next Saturday, tech on.
Bye, Scott. I have one question for you, though.
Okay, Mom, go ahead.
Oh, can I send, just a minute, Dropbox, anyone there, do you or Sony or you, do Dropbox?
I can get into it. I have a Dropbox account. I haven't used it in a long time. But you can send it to me on Dropbox. I'll get you that info. Or you know what else you can, well... Are you familiar? You're familiar with Dropbox. You know what you're doing with it?
No. Oh. I've done a couple things, but it doesn't mean I know what I'm doing. It's okay. By accident.
Well, I can help you with that. Either Dropbox or Google Drive or OneDrive. You have access to all those things.
Okay. Well, when I'm ready, I'll let you know.
That sounds good.
All right, honey. Love you.
Love you, Mom. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Bye,
good meeting. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye, Pop. Bye, Fred. We're out of here. Adios. Well, that was it. That was a great meeting. Oh, my gosh. Can you believe that? All this Google meat stuff worked really well today. I sure hope it continues to act that way. I think it also streamed audio on the internet just fine, too. So I think that worked. Until next time, everyone, this has been great. It's been fun. I'm Scott Stimson. This is International Computer Solutions and the San Carlos Computer Club. Look for sccclub.org and look for our new logo, S3C. Talk to you soon. Until then, goodbye.